Good morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 13 is where we'll begin. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed into your fields? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now, many of you may have heard this scripture before. You may have heard sermons based upon it. And I've heard many sermons based upon this scripture. And we often call it, King James calls it, those weeds, calls them tares. And we know about the wheat and the tares. And all the sermons I've ever heard focused on the tares. They focused on the tares. Well, I had this week, for lack of better wording, a spiritual epiphany. Anybody know what that is? Well, I'm glad you do, because it was new to me. But I had this thought that came into my head. I've never heard a sermon preached on this. If you have, we'll just call it the Spirit of God, because, you know, I know this about preaching. Many times you've already heard something based on the scripture you're dealing with. If you've been in church any amount of time, if you grew up in church, or if you've heard other preachers preach, you've heard all kinds of sermons on all kinds of things, but I've never heard a sermon about what I'm going to talk to you about today. And that is this. I want to focus this morning on the wheat. Now, wheat it's a crop, right? People use it to make money. People use it for bread. I mean, it's one of those staple crops of life. As a matter of fact, the earth cannot really live without it and other things like it. But wheat has some specific qualities that only it has, maybe a few other plants like it have. Number one, the first job of wheat is to grow. It's to grow. I mean, wheat, when wheat is put out, and you got to understand this parable dealing with the tares and the wheat, the reason you can't go pull up the tares out, because wheat is not planted in rows like many other crops are planted. It's sown. It's like you plant grass in your yard. You plant it thick. You want it to come up all over the place. And that's how wheat is planted. And if you've ever gone by wheat fields and seen it, there's no rows in it. It's just solid. Solid wheat. It covers the entire ground it's planted in. But wheat's job is to grow. That's maybe its first and foremost job. It may have another first job. We'll get to that in a minute. But that wheat's job is to grow. Then the second thing that wheat does, and it's unique to wheat and a few other crops like it, barley and other grains produce this same kind of thing. Wheat not only just grows, but wheat does something unique, is that it puts nutrients back into the ground. I don't know if you knew that or not, but wheat does that. Wheat actually puts nitrogen back into the ground. And here's an interesting point about that, and I had to study on this one. I knew wheat put nitrogen back in the ground, but I read a study on it. Wheat actually, in the first year after a crop is planted on top of where wheat has been, it only uses up 14% of the nitrogen that's put into that soil. And for the next 2, 3, 4 years, That nitrogen of that one crop of wheat put into that soil is used by every crop that's produced thereafter. And if you know anything about nitrogen, it's one of the building blocks of life. I mean, it's in everything. It's like carbon. It's in every single element there is. Not every single one, but in many of the things upon this earth. It's in every living organic matter. Nitrogen is there. And it's important that it be there. But it nourishes the ground that it's kept in. Well, is that all wheat does? Well, of course not. Wheat produces fruit. As wheat is growing, as it is nourishing the ground it's planted in, it also heads up. And that's where the fruit comes from. And you'll see those if you've ever seen a wheat field, you'll see those little grains up on top. It's a long stem, and that grain's on top, and it's standing there. And it's depending on the environment, depending on the rain, depending on the soil, depending on many factors outside of itself, then is decided how much wheat will actually produce. If it's a dry year, naturally it's not going to produce as much as in a wet year. It's just different things affect the way it grows and the way it produces fruit. The next thing wheat does is it stands there. It stands there. Wheat is one of those crops that if you planted a single grain of wheat and it came up, a big wind would probably come along and knock it down and it would be useless. But wheat stands in a field with a whole lot of other wheat. And if you ever noticed a wheat field as you go by, if the wind's blowing, the whole field moves back and forth. And what keeps this one from falling over is the one beside it holding it up as it goes back and forth. And so wheat, it just stands there. It can't do anything else, can it? Can it move itself? No, it's got to stand. Another unique thing about wheat is it's often called a stand of wheat. That's what it's called, a stand of wheat. And then the next thing that wheat does, and that you could probably put these last two in any particular order, is it looks to the sun. It's constantly growing toward the sun, or you could say it's looking for the harvest, waiting for the harvest. But in either way, the last two portions of it, it's waiting for the harvest, it's looking to the sun, it's standing there, it is simply waiting and waiting and waiting. Waiting to become ripe. And then at just the right moment, the farmer comes out, gathers the wheat, and puts it in his barn. I said, well, preacher, exactly what's that got to do with us today? We're wheat. In case you didn't figure out what that scripture is talking about, we are the wheat. If you call yourself a child of God, we are the wheat. Sandy, would you put that slide up, please? We are the wheat. Wheat is very unique. But one thing I left out a while ago in talking about the wheat is that very first item up there. Wheat is useless unless it's planted. A man can have a barn full of it, ready to be planted, and if he never plants it, it'll stay in that barn. And you know what's going to happen to it in that barn? The rats are going to eat it. The weevils are going to get in it. Rain may blow in on it and cause it to rot. But wheat has to be planted. Flip over in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 24. Let me back up to verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now here's what wheat has to do. It has to be planted, and it has to die to itself. It is not effective unless it is planted and it dies. You know anything about germination? That seed literally has to start dying. The outside of it has to die off. And that inner part that's left springs forth with new life. That is what we as Christians are designed to do. We are to die to self. We are to die to self. And as a matter of fact, in another scripture, I think it says we are then to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We are to die to ourselves. The next thing as Christians we have to do is grow. And there's all kinds of ways to grow in Christianity. First of all, we have to be rooted in something important. And that's in the Word of God. Being rooted in the Word. You know, that wheat, whatever it's put into it, it holds pretty firm. You just can't walk out there and yank it up without a little effort. That is what we, the people of God, need to be, is rooted in the Word of God. So that when we grow, we will grow, as the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we will grow in such a way that we become nourishment to the world. The Bible calls for us Christians to be salt and light to the world around us. And if we grow the way God designed us, if we grow in faith every day of our lives, then we will be the salt and the light that God intended us to be. You know, that wheat puts that nitrogen back in the ground, and like I told you a while ago, it's used for years afterwards. We as Christians are supposed to grow in such a way that what we do is used for years afterwards. We are supposed to nourish in such a way that what we do is used time and time and time again. That's how we're supposed to grow. That's how we're supposed to nourish. We are supposed to those around us, be Christ. To those around us, be their nourishment. If you go look in the book of Acts, it talks about the church being such a gracious climate that the entire people around there were in, just enamored with them. That they wanted to said their hearts were I can't remember the exact wording, but basically their hearts were softened to the church. Even those outside the church found favor with those outside the church. When we do it the way God intended, that's what happens. See, and when we nourish those around us, we will in turn produce fruit. And that fruit being witnessing, making disciples. And see, that's where it really gets good. Because when we go out and make disciples, as God's Word tells us to do, you know what happens? Then that person is supposed to then go out and make disciples. And that person is supposed to go out and make disciples. And it just grows, and it grows, and it grows. And the field gets ever bigger. It gets ever bigger. The other thing that wheat does, and I don't have it on this chart, I came to that afterwards, is stand. It stands. Now, let me tell you about that standing thing. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Stand firm. Back to that wheat field. That stalk of wheat cannot on its own uproot itself and move to another field. It can't do it. Something has to physically pluck it up and move it over. And in our lives, it's one of two things that causes that to happen. It is either the Lord or it's Satan. Make sure that if you move, it's God moving you. Make sure of that. Sometimes we move without talking to the Lord about it, and it ends up being Satan causing us to move. Make sure of that. Another scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm. hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Stand firm. And then there's one last scripture. I want you to look at this in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, if you can flip over there real quick. Y'all stay with me this morning. I'll have you home early. James chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 7. He says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Now, anybody want to tell them what the last two on here are? Jesus is coming, wait for the harvest. Jesus is coming, look to the Son. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. Look to the Son. Jesus is coming. He says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Now, again, I really thought this was unique based upon the sermon I had this morning. Look at what the verse says next. "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, and how patient he is for the autumn and for the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." The Lord's coming is near. So just like that wheat farmer knows the time is coming for the harvest, so we as Christians need to know the time is coming for the harvest. And our job, folks, is to stand firm. One of the problems with standing firm today that so greatly causes issues is that we, the people of God, don't know what this says enough. This is our outline. This is our guide. And we, the people of God, we just need to be like the seed of wheat. We need to be planted. We need to grow. Let me tell you something. If your faith has not grown, there's something wrong with your Christianity. If you have not grown in faith since the moment you got saved, you need to check to see if you're truly saved or not. Being salt and light. Over Matthew 5, Jesus says we are to be salt and light to the world. Says it plainly. Be salt and light. Matter of fact, about that light, we wrote a song about it. Y'all remember that old song, "This Little Light of Mine? I'm going to let it shine." "Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine." Y'all remember that old, you learned it when you were kids. If you had any church at all growing up, you know that song. We need to let our light shine. Matter of fact, what the scripture says, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And it says about being salt. It says a salt that has lost its saltiness, basically, is useless, worthless, to be thrown out and trampled on. But a salt that is worthy of the master flavors whatever it touches. Just real quickly on that, you ever ate vegetables with no salt in them? It's the nastiest thing you'll ever put in your mouth. Y'all wonder why babies won't eat baby food. I mean, come on. But a little salt, makes it good for the palate and makes it go down. We are to be that to the world around us. Again, produce fruit. Witness and make disciples. And then just stand, and wait for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because, church, I believe with all of my heart that He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And we need to be ready. Don't be found wanting when Jesus comes.